or they'll, you know, obviously they have Kansas come this weekend, and Kansas is just their chances of even playing in the Big 12 tournament are on the respirator right now. They would have to sweep the Longhorns, and Baylor would have to lose all three to Oklahoma State. Now, Baylor losing all three to Oklahoma State is not out of the realm of possibility, even in Waco,
right.
But the thought of Kansas taking all three from Texas probably is not realistic. So they're probably going to be eliminated by Thursday night. And then, Ty, you get in that old thing where coaches talk about dealing with a team that has nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, and then, boy, it's just tough. I'm fortunate in my career. I've never had to do that, and that is a challenge because you're trying to get them amped up to play again. The older guys, the seniors, they'll still be locked in.
Yeah.
And then sometimes coaches at that point, if they know they're out, they start throwing some younger guys trying to move forward.
True. All right. So anyway, it is tomorrow evening at 6:30. Friday evening at 6:30, lifetime Longhorn and a hero of that 2005 national championship team, Seth Johnston, will be honored on Friday. And we hope to grab a few minutes with Seth in the booth on Friday. And then senior day on Saturday at 2:30. For that. All right. Now, I wanted to get in this, and we'd had a couple of folks ask about it. It was something we talked a little bit about yesterday, and that is with regard to the RPI factoring into some coaches' decisions not to play games, and in fact, canceling games. The folks at Occupy Left Field on their Twitter page said, all of you can kick rocks. Baseball gods will find you, no doubt. And it listed the following. Canceled, Incarnate Word at A&M. Canceled, Mount St. Mary's at Virginia. Canceled, Tarleton at TCU. Canceled, Houston Baptist at Texas State. Listen, there are more than just those. Kansas and Missouri were to have played. Ole Miss and Arkansas State were to have played.
Liberty.
Liberty was to have played. So there were a lot of games canceled. Now, There's different ways to view this. First of all, there's going to be the counter argument from the coaches who cancel the games and say, what can happen if you don't handle your business? Ask Oklahoma, went 160 miles up the road to play a sub-500 Wichita State team, lost 18-0 on Monday night and dropped five spots in the RPI from 24 to 29. So that happened there. Last night, you and I had texted about it after the ball game, Ty, that Miami, ranked third in the country, lost at home, right?
Yes.
To Gulf Coast, Florida Gulf Coast, and dropped three spots from number 8 to number 11 in the RPI. So there is that risk if you lose the game. What was really concerning guys like Jim Schlossnagel at Texas A&M and Kirk Sarlos at TCU was you play these teams, and so you go and you play these teams, even if you beat them, you lose ground in the RPI. I did think it was kind of weird that Incarnate Word was even going to play a game against TCU when they're starting the Southland Conference tournament this week.
Well, let me explain that part of it. Some of these teams that have canceled were Southland opponents. So originally when you do a schedule, often enough, it's 2-3 years out that you make these schedules. So this is the first time that the Southland has moved their tournament to this week. Their regular season ended last week. So their conference tournament starts on Thursday. So
tomorrow.
That's yes, right. Thank you. So these guys that were playing in the Southland, it was a mutual thing. Neither one of those teams wanted to play either because they're starting their tournament. So what are they going to benefit from playing that game? So the argument is, why don't you know that ahead of time? Well, they will in the future, and that's something you and I will discuss. But as it sat for this week, this time, this moment, I think both those teams are like, hey, we're about to start our tournament. I can't run any arms out there. I've got to win game one, and that's my only chance. My only chance to get into the NCAAs is to win that tournament.
Now, there's also two different, I think, divergent schools of thought here with regard to, in addition, I mean, first of all, there's going to be people that say it's absolutely awful. You should not cancel the games. And if you do cancel the games, you should have to pay the price on the other end. David Pierce was asked about it last night. He said, I understand the mindset. He said the biggest problem he had is, and we used this term on the postgame show last night, is how coaches are being forced put into a position to have to manipulate the system to make sure they maintain their status. But again, it's two divergent things here. In the case of Texas A&M and TCU and Ole Miss, I think you're talking about schools who are trying to protect the opportunity to be a regional host. Now, there are many things that go into being a regional host, and performance is probably at the top of the list, but it's not the only factor. There are financial considerations. There's a bid process. There are some other things that go into it, so it's not the only factor, even though it might be the chief factor. It's not the one. In the case of Texas State, and you and I haven't even discussed this part of it much, but in the case of Texas State, I think it's a different can of worms because the Bobcats – and, for example, and to a larger extent, the Sun Belt Conference does not have a history of getting multiple teams into an NCAA regional. In the case of Texas State, I think what Stephen Trout has had to do with regard to that is protect an opportunity with a higher RPI. They need everything in their favor for winning. I said winning the Sun Belt is at the top of the list, and I think they're going to do that. The magic number is one. Win one game. I think by winning the Sun Belt, they're definitely going to be they definitely would be in the field regardless of what happens at the conference tournament in Montgomery next week. But there might still be the possibility of hosting out there. I know they've submitted a bid as well. So I think the set of circumstances is a little bit different for Texas State than it is for schools that are specifically trying to lock in their hopes to host a regional. A&M's going to be in a regional, whether it's home or on the road. Yep. TCU's going to be in a regional, whether it's home or on the road. Ole Miss is going to be in a regional where it's home or on the road. Those schools are going to be in there. In the case of Texas last night, playing Sam Houston was not going to damage the RPI as long as they won. And they did, and they moved up to spot. They're 16 in one set of RPI numbers, and they're 17 in the other. But anyway, they moved up with one. But I think it's a little bit different for Texas State than it might be for some of those other schools.
I agree. And I think, you know, because Texas State, we've been left out a handful of times, multiple times, where we thought we were going to get in and didn't. So, it was a mutually agreed upon moment that
because Houston Baptist didn't want to do it either,
correct,
because they've got the Southland.
No,
tournament.
That's correct, and that's what I'm saying. I just think all this has led to, and somebody asked me, "What would you do?" I got to be honest with you, I would have to think of it this way too. I got to be brutally honest because what's best for your team to try to get in the NCAA? If you've been left out before and you don't know what that's like, you're going to do everything you can to try to protect that. And, it was a mutually agreed upon thing. And I think what it is going to do, and Coach Pearson and I had a chance to off the record talk about it a little bit last night, meaning off the record, meaning out of the interview, is that I think it's going to create great conversation. There is this element of tell the coaches what it is from an NCAA committee. What is it you really are looking for? What is it that really is the most important key factor? Then you and I talked about. So they always use the word RPI, strength of schedule, and they'll tell you these are the things you got to go do. Okay, well, if you line that up and you go do it and you still don't go get in, how do you go back and say, okay, well, then you got to be that. So I think it's going to create tremendous conversation. I think it's going to create some change. And it's going to create, I think, some transparency about what really needs to take place and what needs to happen. Then you have the choice, Craig, that as a coach, I don't think that I want to play that week. I'm going to hold that off and not play. So there's a lot of different things that go into, and look, I have been on both. I understand both sides. I truly do. If you say you want to play, let's go play. But if you're trying to protect something and you run the risk of, you know, if you lost that game and or if you got somebody hurt, what does that look like moving forward? I mean, there's just so many different things. It has put, and David said this right, it has put the coaches in a really unique situation to try to do what's best for their program.
Which means, and again, those words, manipulate the system, because you're playing the system at that point. You're not just going out and trying to win a ball game. If you are being punished in the computer for winning a baseball game, then it brings up so doesn't the computer need to be changed? And that's going to be the conversation. I think one tournament committee selection person had visited with Coach Pierce yesterday, and he said, are you guys taking note? He said, absolutely. How could you not? It's going on all across the country. We've taken note of it. Now, whether, does that mean that it's going to count against the team that skipped it? I don't know that that'll be the case, but it's definitely going to be an off-season topic for perhaps changing the system with regard to that. Otherwise, you're probably not going to see anybody playing in the final week of the regular season or playing a team that's you know, sub 500.
Unless if you leave it open, we thought about, talked a little bit about this last night, or if you leave that week open knowing that if you get a rainout and you could find a qualified opponent, meaning RPI qualified, then you could go play them and have that Tuesday open to go do that. But now that means you got a double week. Tuesday, Wednesday, you got to go pick up, and which is hard too, you know, early in the year, trying to double week and trying to, you know, find an opponent that RPI-wise you feel comfortable playing in a double week on a Tuesday, Wednesday. And so there's a lot. Look, the main thing for me, if sitting outside this now as a coach that's been in this for a long time, and I've been on both sides of this, believe you me, I can't even begin to tell you, it's going to create dialogue that needs to happen. There needs to be some more information out there about this is what you got to do. And I'm sure basketball probably feels a little bit same way about, you know, the way their tournament rolls out and who gets in and out and all the above. But I just think there needs to be more dialogue, more conversation, and from an administrative level. And they need to listen to the coaches on this too. They truly do. They need to let them put their input on this. Obviously, I'm coming from a coach perspective on that. And let them talk about how do we make this right? How do we fix this moving forward? And then once you do this, and once you set up this way, then this is what we're moving with. These are the rules, and this is how we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Our friend John in the Bay posted it. Here's a comment from Jay Johnson, the coach at LSU. He said, you guys are going to think I'm nuts, but tonight was the most important game left on our schedule relative to things we want to do in postseason. I'm glad we got that one out of the way. From an RPI standpoint, you don't want to lose home games. You've seen teams cancel them all across the country so they don't drop in the RPI. I don't think Coach Burtman built his program on running away from games. That's just my opinion, and I'm not going to do that to our players, but we needed to win the game because we played it. Also, that's 20 non-conference wins, and that's 20-5 outside the league, and that's a good accomplishment for our team. Thank you, John. Yeah, the onus there is to win the game.
Yeah.
Because had the Longhorns lost last night to Sam Houston, Sam Houston was 105, so it wasn't a horrible RPI thing or something like that, but they would have taken a hit. There's no doubt, had they lost that game, the winning of the game gave them a bump up of one spot in the RPI as well. So, I mean, it's a tough thing to put the coaches in the position of having to manipulate the system.
That's right. Look, and that's the part. The coaches are paid to go do what's best for their program. Like, that's part of it. I mean, that's the way the business is. And that's why, to me, this is a striking point for moving forward in the future with coaches and administrators about, you know, RPI and its real true value. Because, as you and I talked last night, there's a human element. And when you start to make decisions about who's in and who's out, there's still that human thought that takes the computer away. And so let's talk about really what this looks like and what this means. Let's take some of these coaches out of this position. And again, if it wasn't mutually agreed upon and some team just called and said, we're done, we're not going to play tonight, that's a totally different story too, by the way. If both teams are in agreement, look, at the end of this year, let's can this or whatever it may be. Again, that to me sets it a little bit different than if somebody just calling you up saying, we're not going to play tonight, sorry about it, or something like that, or forcing you not to. And I don't know that happened anywhere. But from a coach that's been on both sides of this, I think this is a moment where we get to get more transparency, and we get a chance to really define what it really takes, and let's set the schedule up, and let's have this tough discussion. Let's don't run from it. Let's don't kick the can down the road. Let's get together as coaches, and let's have this conversation, and let's get this thing right so that we don't have moments like this.
Okay. Somebody on the Specs text line asked and said, do you really think that Texas State has a shot at hosting with its small facility? First of all, and I'll say this, and I'll let Ty say what he needs to say. In my years, 20-plus years of broadcasting college baseball, I've seen teams that had as small, if not smaller, a facility than Texas State host a regional. Oklahoma's ballpark is no bigger than Texas State's. Now, they brought in some bleachers beyond the left field fence and did that to increase the capacity. There was a super regional between Dallas Baptist and Cal several years ago that was played in Santa Clara. Because that was a ballpark that at the time seated 2,500, I believe, also. So there is a precedent. It's happened. And that's why I said performance is probably the number one factor, but there's a bid process that goes into it as well.
All right, let's start with question number one. Yes, the stadium's big enough. It has the capacity to do it. It's 2,500, you know, built-in seats as it is. They have the ability to – the last Texas game and the very first game when we opened it with Texas, Augie was so gracious to come down there, and you remember that. And, you know, there was 3,200 there that night. And then, you know, I think this last time when Texas was down there on that Tuesday-Wednesday series, which was a great idea between you know, Coach Pierce and Trout, that in that Tuesday game there was 3,300 or 3,400 down there. There is space for them to put bleachers. It was designed by a lot of conversation and effort that down beyond the caboose, which is one of the coolest things in college baseball, but right outside of that, you could put up bleachers there. Down the right field line and outside the left field down past the Texas State side dugout. There's space there also for portable bleachers if need be. And then out in left field, there's an opening in the fence right there where you could put bleachers as well. So, yes, they could accommodate the size. I do think what's interesting about that is...
And they have submitted a bid as far as you know, right?
Yes, they have. And the other side of that is every once in a while the NCAA feels like, hey, let's give a new kid on the block a shot at this. So maybe if Texas State wins this out and goes down the road and wins a tournament, wins regular season, you know, runs it out from here on out, you know, maybe
sweep Georgia State in Atlanta this week. They've already had, what, four road sweeps this year in conference play? Do that, then sweep through the tournament in Montgomery. What does that take them to now?
Well,
46 wins, maybe?
It would be be more than that. It'd be 47.
47
wins. And having to probably go through Coastal, who is on fire right now, who's a once-time national champion, by the way.
Yep.
And then you're having to go through, you know, Georgia Southern, one of the two of those, and who RPI
who
set.
Six, seven?
Yes.
Their RPI?
Yeah. So they would pick up some moments. So, yeah, I mean, it is. And it's great for Texas State to go through this process as well. Because, again, we went through it, you know, 2009, I think, and maybe 2010. But the NCAA does have the ability every once in a while to reward some new teams and some new programs to create some new life in there. Do they often revert back to knowing that they're going to get the big paydays from, you know, a Texas or a Texas A&M or whatever it may be from hosting regionals? Money does talk, and often enough, as long as they can make sure the money talks enough, then they'll be able to surprise somebody else and let them do their part.
All right, so there it is. We'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn.